Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation Radio Network, coming to you loud and clear from our new desert fortress in Las Vegas, Nevada. Friends, it's good to be back the morning after Halloween. What a day it was. So first of all, hope everybody had a wonderful time out there trick-or-treating and was safe, or going to parties and was safe. And today is recovering from a massive sugar rush. My kids, I had to cut them off at some point in the evening. They were downing these candies like nobody's business. My daughter wakes up very early in the morning and comes up to bed and says, I don't feel well. Well, that, Vera, is the consequence of bad choices. And there we have it. Now, the most stunning bit of news is that Donald Trump has come to the conclusion that I myself have come to recently. That is to say that he has declared this morning that he is leaving New York City. Did you see this? Yeah, he's out. Now, look, this matters because if you live in a state like California, if you live in a state like New York or New Jersey that taxes the hell out of its citizens, and where you, by virtue of being in a certain modest income band, think that it doesn't affect you, right? It's just for those guys that are up at the top in the glass towers who make the millions and millions of dollars a year. You don't realize that all of the social services, all of the state infrastructure, all of the state's budget in California, New York, I mean, it's something like 90 to 95% of its budget comes from tax money from millionaires. And you have millionaires like Donald Trump, who love their city, who love their state, who have grown up in a place. And guess what? They can get up and move. And you know why? I'll let you in on a little secret. It's because they're millionaires. I mean, they have the means to do it. They can buy a second home. They can conduct their business virtually anywhere. And that usually is a consequence of having money and the means to travel freely. And I also want to get you a little bit ahead of the story, because you've got to prepare yourself for it. The reason we know this, of course, is because Trump sent out a series of tweets that together made sort of an essay of his reasons of being fed up with New York. And I will say this, if you take the political rhetoric out of it, I have heard this exact same sentiment from many of my friends who live in California, for example, and who are just fed up with the tax and spend out of control lunacy that occurs there. And the main crux of everybody's argument about California is what am I getting for it, right? I'm getting taxed to death. Well, California or New York or wherever. And what benefits am I getting? The roads are all crap. I think I mentioned that last program. I said the roads here in Vegas are incredible. They're smooth. They're nicely done. They're well paid. You go to Texas. In Texas, they don't build a road. They don't build anything in the state of Texas, a freeway or whatnot, unless the money is in the bank. And what you'll see, and this is really confounding to a lot of out-of-towners, you go to Texas, you'll see empty swatches of land where there's a surface road that is parallel to a big open area, you know, trough of land, and it's there ready for a freeway when they have the money to build it. And then when they go to build it, it's always incredible. Not so in California. So it's a value proposition. And the other thing I just want to get you you all ahead of is that the response from the governor of New York himself, Andrew Cuomo, is, in a word, priceless. Because it, and just take Donald Trump as the person and the politician out of this, but by and large, the state's public rhetoric is very different from their private rhetoric, and I'm going to explain that. Just bear with me. Because Cuomo says, he says, good riddance, after the news broke of Trump's impending exit, and he's all yours, Florida, which is where Trump will move after he leaves the presidency. Now, this idea of good riddance, I'll be honest, a lot of the politicians in California, they don't care that companies are leaving. They don't care that wealthy people are leaving, you know, by the tens and hundreds. And by the way, each one of those departures represents, if it represents a million or more in taxes, it's a significant number that the state is losing. It's like losing customers. It's like being a business. In this case, the state's business is collecting tax revenues from productive citizens. The state's losses, every business has a loss, has, you know, some amount of revenue going out the door to expenses. Its expenses are spent on citizens who aren't producing revenue, right? I mean, that's the pluses and minuses. And the states like California, states like New York, are perfectly blasé about people leaving. And they say that here all the time, don't they? You'll talk to, you know, people ask Governor Newsom and say, well, Governor, you got people leaving. What do you... you know, if they don't want to be here, yeah, screw them. But then the real truth, and this is, I want to tell you, the public versus the private. Guess what happens when people leave? You think for a minute that Governor Cuomo's good riddance, he's all yours, Florida, sentiment will be echoed by New York State Franchise Tax Board, or perhaps the Office of the Assessor and Controller of the City of New York. Well, the Cuomo may be moving on from New York's relationship with Donald Trump, but I promise you that the tax man will be a very jealous ex. Because this is exactly how it's going to play out. And I predict it will result in Trump divesting himself of his New York State, specifically his New York City properties. That's a big prediction. But I believe that in order to free himself truly from the tax burden in New York City, he's going to have to, in some way, shape or form, get rid of even Trump Tower. And that is because the tax authorities, this is how it's in California, as long as you have any kind of ties to the state, I mean, they will come after you and they will hound you. So it'll be interesting to watch this, but nonetheless, very interesting news. And by the way, could it be a tell that Trump is thinking about what happens after the presidency? Right now, of course, he's a resident in Washington, D.C., and will be as thinking apparently about what happens after the presidency. The impeachment inquiry formally opened yesterday. Nancy Pelosi calling for a vote. So the Democrats finally had a vote on this thing. Now, Dr. Audio, I'm going to ask you something. Do you remember back, you know, it was 21 years ago this October, that the formal inquiry into impeachment of one William Jefferson Clinton was opened. And what would you, do you know, by the way, how many Democrats voted for it? I mean, I get it. It was a Republican-led Congress. So you had numerically, roughly analogous makeup of Republicans to Democrats. I would say this, majority to minority as you have now, only it's flipped, right? Now the Democrats are in charge, and instead of Newt Gingrich, we have Nancy Pelosi. So yesterday, two Democrats, only two Democrats broke rank, and these are two Democrats, folks that are in trouble. I mean, they are fighting for their political lives. So they're in very pro-Trump conservative districts, and they wanted nothing to do with this at all. But let me ask you, back then, 21 years ago, do you think it was roughly the same? Because a lot of people have this idea that, oh, this is just like Bill Clinton. And you hear that a lot. Uh-huh. 31 Democrats, 21 years ago, voted to open an impeachment inquiry into Bill Clinton. Now, you will hear all day long today, all weekend and into next week and beyond, all about polarization, because the media and the left will want to tell you it's about polarization. Now, I, as a lawyer, as a patriot, and as a person who has some of my brain left, will tell you it's not that. A lot of people who are in Congress who are not total partisan hacks recognize that impeachment is about, at least even opening an impeachment inquiry, is about figuring out if there's anything there that rises to high crimes and misdemeanors. And in order for that standard, I guess, to be met, you have to have an assumption that there's a crime. So what's the crime? And I can't make this any more simple. The at issue here is, and let's just say that it is exactly the way Adam Schiff in his pea brain believes that this all went down, which is Trump is dealing with the Ukraine. He believes that the Ukraine, that actors high up in the Ukrainian government at various points in time have endeavored to corrupt a sitting vice president of the United States, Joseph Biden. In endeavoring to corrupt Mr. Biden, they paid astronomical sums of money to Mr. Biden's son, to the tune of $50,000 a month for a no-show job sitting on a board of some energy company that, by the way, is controlled by various high-up government folks. Now, at the same time, okay, what do we have? Flash forward 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, and we are now in an election year. We're coming up to an election year, yes? And who's the front runner for the election? Joe Biden. Now, let's just say that, yeah, Trump wants to mess with Biden. He thinks Biden might be the front runner and is looking to take out a political rival. Okay. I mean, folks, we've just been hearing about how Obama looking into Trump being compromised when Trump was the nominee. Holy smokes. Trump was a Republican nominee. And the belief that Trump had been compromised by a foreign power was enough to open an investigation here, to order FISA warrants, to order all levels of the FBI to target everything that and anything that moved, to spy on, to surveil. I want to make sure I get my words right so people don't get mad at me. Surveil the Trump campaign, all under the name of what? And we've been told this. What Obama did was absolutely necessary and legitimate. It's protecting the integrity of the U.S. election. So Trump bypasses all of that. He says, all right, Ukraine, listen, you got a problem here. Some of your people over there, they clearly were bribing the Bidens, and you need to investigate this. You look into it. Because we sure as hell ain't giving you no aid until you do it. Meaning, if you want money from us, you clean up this nonsense over here. But and incidentally, you try to influence our political process. You literally were bribing, through this entity, a sitting vice president of the United States. Fix it. The reason that no Republican, and you don't think for a minute that there are Republicans in the House who do not like Trump. The reason that no Republican broke ranks and that no Republican voted to open this clown show is because none of those people believe for in an instant that even if Trump did exactly to a T what he's been accused of doing, that he did anything wrong. Clumsy? Sure. Politically stupid? Possibly. Illegal? I'm telling you this. Illegal? Hell no. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, this hour brought to you by Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. I want to thank everybody who came out last night to the Town Scary event over in Town Square here. In Las Vegas, we had Ashley, my partner, was there handing out candy and glow sticks and some other treats. And I guess the Sam and Ash booth had a line down. I mean, it was the longest line, Dr. Audio. It was absolutely, No. Matt Man W was not there in his regalia, but we... And I, of course, had family duties, so I'm very happy that Ashley could cover me. And for those of you who got to talk with her, she loved it, had a great time. So thank you for all of that. Speaking of Town Scary, did you know that... Okay, I know Nancy Pelosi scheduled this stupid impeachment vote for Halloween, which, intentional. I don't know if it was intentional, but what it resulted in was Congressman Katie Porter wearing a Halloween costume to the vote. Now, this is why I bring up Mattman, because she came as Batgirl. If you're not familiar with the Batman series, think Batman, but female. Also, and I'm going to say this, think tights. Now, I would describe Congressman Porter's physique as being what we call 5 pounds potato in a 3 pound sack. So for starters, she's, it was awful. And she even wore the mask. So she's there. She had some committee hearing, and she's asking questions. She's wearing a mask. You, madam, you're an adult. I get it. So some reporter follows her down the hall and yells at her, Congressman Porter. She turns around, and with a smile on her face, ready to engage a friendly constituent or member of the left-wing media, realizes that it's somebody... not a friendly face turns. She begins to watch you. And the guy asks her, he goes, do you pay Alfred minimum wage? And then she starts. And then what happens? She ducks into the ladies room, which may or may not have been her intended place where she was headed. But she ducks into the waiting room and she gets stuck in the door with the costume and the big purse. She gets kind of stuck in the door. And so he has a chance, the guy has a chance to yell out at her one more time, goes, if you sold the Batmobile, could you pay for the Green New Deal? Oh, my gosh. This on the heels of Katie, the other Katie, Katie Hill. We have two, the two California Katies, Don't be confused. Katie Hill, the Democrat in California who had the thruple relationship. This is a thruple, friends, if you are a normal human being and familiar with only dealing, only having the challenges of dealing with one relationship at a time. This is what I guess you have when you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, a husband and wife, and then a third person joins the relationship. And not just for the purposes of, we'll call it a single encounter. There's a different word for that. But if you have now a relationship among those three people where instead of a couple, it's the three people, so they say thruple. The problem with, as you may have heard with Katie Hill, is that the third wheel in the marriage became one of her staffers, paid for by the campaign or by her, no, even worse, by taxpayers. So she's being paid out of her district funds. These are the Democrats. And this woman, exactly. Katie Hill is exactly the kind of Democrat that screams as the loudest voice in the Me Too movement, right? Is the loudest critic of powerful men who take advantage of weak women, securing their quote unquote consent to sexual relationships through intimidation, fear, and unequal bargaining position. This same woman is perfectly fine taking one of her staffers and making her mistress together with her husband. So the way that whole thing unraveled is the husband and Katie Hill had, you know, a divorce. The husband, I think, absolutely awful. He posted pictures that they had all taken, and these pictures are now all over the internet. Katie Hill was naked in a lot of these pictures. It was not good to look at. Although, can I just say how thankful I am that those photos were not of the other Katie? Because that, my friends, would be difficult to unsee. So nonetheless, the tale of two Katies. One's in a Batman costume getting stuck in a lavatory door, and the other resigned yesterday and blamed everyone but herself. So this is Nancy Pelosi's Congress. I am actually shocked, not shocked, but I am disappointed that a lot of moderate Democrats voted for this. And I have something to tell them, and it matters. It matters because it may shape the outcome of the election in 2020. I'll explain when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Rogowski. You'll find him very entertaining. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Sam Rogowski, making radio great again, coming to you loud and clear from the Sam Nation Desert Fortress in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes. Now, okay. I already can sense the disapproval and hate mail that I will be getting as soon as this podcast posts. And the many liberals, by the way, and there are many leftists, love this program. And I suspect, well, you know, I mean, who doesn't like hearing the truth, even if they can't admit it? But I get these emails. I got to tell you, someday I just got to take a minute and read some of them because they are fantastic. And I can hear it now. How dare you, Sam, you've lost the narrative. If you're talking about, if you have to resort to body shaming a congresswoman of the United States. By the way, can I even say that, congresswoman? Don't want to assume her gender. All right. You want me to bring this back to the issues? I will do that because I am the host. And I possess superior talents that will allow me to do this. Katie Porter, Democrat from California, a district that encompasses Irvine, among other cities. The fact that she, with her shape, would wear a costume that is, the whole thing is spandex, right? That's the costume. To me, says there is a critical bit of self-awareness missing from this person. And it is, by the way, I'll tell you, it is this same lack of self-awareness that right now is going to put the Democrats in a world of hurt from Katie Porter on down or up, depending on if you're looking at this from what perspective. I'm going to hierarchy will go on up because she's a junior congresswoman person. Keep this all straight. The 40 Democrats or so, right, that are the blue dog Democrats, moderate Democrats who have been elected in districts that voted predominantly for Trump, that are from districts that have a large number of Republicans, or at least where Republicans outnumber Democrats significantly. These Democrats going on board with this vote yesterday, I don't think they realize the repercussions of this. And it's not about the vote. And the way they're couching it, just so you understand, the way that the moderate Democrats are couching it and trying to sell it to their districts is, well, listen, this isn't about impeachment. It's about constitutional oversight. This is about daylight. And if Trump did nothing wrong, then I'm not gonna vote to impeach. But as I already explained, there is nothing so far in the record that constitutes a high crime or misdemeanor having been committed. And all these witnesses that have been paraded in front of the committees investigating this, Adam Schiff, the grand inquisitor of this process, they're all talking about policy disagreements with Trump. And I know there are policy disagreements, but you can't impeach a president because you disagree with him. And the president, the chief executive of the country, if I can make a finer point about this Ukraine-Biden situation, the president has plenary powers, has full authority, with very few exceptions, to conduct this nation's foreign policy. If you don't like it, vote in November, get him out of there, replace him with one of these other nincompoops that you guys have running. I'm speaking to the Democrats. But instead of doing this, and instead of coming up with an articulable crime or suspicion of a crime, because this process here first requires a suspicion of a crime, then they're going to investigate it all in this next phase, and then it moves to something along the lines of an indictment, and that is a vote in the House of Representatives to send Trump to trial in the Senate, where he's either actually impeached, thrown out of office, or not, convicted or not convicted. So this process right now, this deal here in the this first vote, is just based on suspicion. There's nothing there. Zero. So to all of you Democrats who are saying this is about daylight, you know, don't nothing to see here. We just are doing the right thing. Bull crap. And the reason it's going to backfire on you is because in your districts where you might be popular, where the particular congressman might be popular, that district does not need to see on television now for the next few months, day in and day out, all the loonies of the Democratic Party bloviating on TV and reminding them how much we all hate this democratically led Congress. It's literally the worst idea politically I have ever seen. November, today is November 1. We are a year and a week away from an election. But that election is not just the presidential election. It's also everyone in Congress is up for re-election. And these 40 Democrats now for the foreseeable future are going to be tied to the spectacle. I'm speaking to you, you stupid Democrats. You just don't get it. Hasn't Trump shown you time and time again that, I mean, he's Teflon. It's all going to roll off of him, okay? But who's going to get stuck with dirt on them is you. All of these moderate Democrats in these Republican districts are now going to be attached to Maxine Waters, attached to Adam Schiff. And Maxine and Adam and Nancy, I hate to break it to you, but they all come from, D plus 80 districts. I mean, they all come from very, very safe districts. They do not have to worry about re-election, but you do. And so the reason that this matters is that what the vote yesterday, and no one is saying this, the vote yesterday could actually lead to a reversal of fortune in the House of Representatives. Now, some of the rules that the Democrats have put in, they're trying to mitigate against this. I think it'll backfire as well. I'll explain when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rzhovsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, yes. One of the little rules, because that's part of what was set up yesterday, one of the little rules you may have missed, something small that the Democrats did, is that they authorized the use of staff to question various witnesses in this next phase of the impeachment inquiry. Now, the reason you might have missed it is because, you know, we tend to think of Democrats and staff in thruple situations, and we forget that staff perform other functions there as well. Staff means lawyers, and I say this as a lawyer, and I'm always thrilled when a fellow lawyer can be gainfully employed. However, I am a lawyer in private practice, serving people in the good fight against exploitation and in pursuit of their consumer rights. These are the kind of lawyers that thrive off of government contracts that are in the belly of the beast, live in the swamp, and are lifetime Democrats. These are the lawyers that will be assisting congressmen on Capitol Hill questioning witnesses. And here's why. Because most congressmen are dumb. I mean, that's the truth. It's very rare to have a congressman come along like retired Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's really an excellent lawyer and knows how to question a witness. Same with Lindsey Graham. I read a piece today by Joe Lockhart, former press secretary for Bill Clinton. Lockhart wrote this piece where he said he called Adam Schiff an amazing prosecutor, and the fact that he was given the lead by Nancy Pelosi here to run with these impeachment proceedings, brilliant move on the part of Pelosi, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know, it was a little too early for me to choke on my own vomit, because Adam Schiff is not a great lawyer. He's not a great, he's not good at formulating questions, asking questions. He's not charming in the least. Fundamental thing. If you want to be a good trial lawyer, you've got to have a little charm. You gotta know how to wink. Adam Schiff can't even blink, and he always looks like he's just he's really just waiting for the Hale Bopp Comet to come along and pick him up on the great ride to the next solar system. Yeah, Heaven's Gate. That's right. And this is the guy who's going to be the face of this. So, yeah. So one of the things. So, yes, they're going to bring in lawyers. So we don't have to see Adam Schiff as much on TV. So we don't have to see Maxine Waters making a fool of herself. Katie Porter, we're back to her. She's a law professor. You know, she was the law professor at UC Irvine. Yes. So that's what we need. We need more law professors. It worked great with Obama. He was a part-time law professor. And he was a tremendous leader and president. Who else? Oh, that's right. Pocahontas. She is a law professor. She'd make a great executive. I don't know if you didn't see this. She just came out with her healthcare for all plan. Dr. Audio, do you know what healthcare for all will cost? Any idea? You want to throw out a number? I'm serious. Give me a number. I mean, it's... No, literally, like literally what she said on national television. $40 billion. Try on $52 trillion. Okay, we've heard a lot about the national debt. I'm just going to put that number because nobody here, we don't have a trillionaire yet. So nobody, no one single person can conceptualize, I think, $52 trillion. So what that is it's double, roughly double our current national debt. This is why law professors shouldn't be. And I know I've got a lot of good friends that are law professors. You guys shouldn't be running the country. OK, I'm just going to put it to you right there. The reason you're law professors is because you couldn't hack it in private practice, generally speaking. And at least I know lawyers are bad business people generally, but at least if you're in private practice, you've got to manage a budget. Meaning your company can only spend what you bring in at the very worst case scenario. This is why Trump is going to win. This is why he's going to win. Warren is the front runner, and she is so dumb that she says this. She commits to this number. If she wins the nomination, I don't care who. By the way, Trump may get impeached by then. He may be running for a second term as an out of office. He may be running against Pence. We'll see. But whoever is running, all Trump has to do is get up there and play over and over and over again the video of her, of Elizabeth Warren, saying $52 trillion. And then somebody who is clever in media will come up with some way to visualize it and it will equal things. And guess what? Most of people in America, even if they don't like Trump and even if they think that he's a blowhard and even if they think he's gaudy and tasteless and don't like his tweeting, this kind of stuff is just not normal. And we fear it. We fear it. It's crazy. So, yes, the impeachment inquiry, full steam ahead. They're going to use staff. They're going to use lawyers because the Democrats themselves realize that they can't hack it. And if they have any hope and prayer of getting anywhere, they need to use, I guess, some experienced outside attorneys. So look for that. But that doesn't mean, friends, it doesn't mean that the Democrats won't themselves be tainted by it. Because Maxine Waters, she will be on the news every night talking about this. And every one of those moderate Democrats out there that voted for this impeachment inquiry will be linked to Maxine, will be linked to Nancy Pelosi, will be linked to the spectacle. And if this turns out to be like the Mueller probe, a lot of nothing, then they are going. You know how the American public already mistrustful of government, having elected Donald Trump in the first place because they do not like inside the Beltway shenanigans by the political establishment, will be so put off by this. These 40 Democrats are all going to lose their seats. And when they do, the balance of the House of Representatives may well shift. So the irony here is in the Democrats' efforts to remove Trump from office, they themselves may be headed for short-term political extinction. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem, and Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, all right, 128,000 new jobs in the month of October. That news out this morning. The U.S. economy is, we're still plodding along. And one of the things that's important here is that this job growth occurred even in spite of the big GM strike. Because the strike has resulted in a number of people being laid off, something like 42,000. I guess you go on strike, you don't work, company suffers, and you're going to get furloughed. Imagine that. So this all good news. Yesterday, as the impeachment vote came down, the stock market did nothing. I think this is significant. It's not everything, but certainly what the stock market likes is predictability. What the stock market wants, what investors want is okay, if Trump's in office, at least we need to deal with it. But uncertainty is what kills future commitments. And future commitments is what drives the market. So in turn, I would suspect that a lot of smart people on Wall Street don't believe Trump is going anywhere. So that's one thing to take note of. Now, as we get here into the election, because in earnest now, it's November. And as we get here into the winter past Christmas, we're full on in primary season. And every person I talk to, they all want my opinions on the race and where it's headed. And I think this election is going to be the one to watch. I tell people, I'm not into sports. So, yeah, the Nationals won the World Series, but for me, this World Series or Super Bowl election, presidential election year, only comes around once every 4 years. So it's like the World Cup or the Olympics. It's a big deal in my life as an astute political observer. So this is going to be very interesting. Now, the critical thing is who actually makes it on the other side. And let's talk about that when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network, coming to you loud and clear from our desert fortress here in Las Vegas, Nevada. A pleasure to be with you all. The day after Halloween, the 1st of November, the year is officially almost over. We've got 60 days to go. And then we're into 2020, election season, big election year. And here is the status of the race. Biden is slipping. I would not rule Biden out. The conventional water cooler wisdom at this point is that Joe is donezo. And the reason I know he's not completely done is because for the past 2 weeks, there have been whisperings of resurrecting Hillary Clinton to reenter the race. or enter this race here in 2020 again, which would make her third unsuccessful run for president, were she to do it. What does that have anything to do with Joe Biden? Well, obviously, if people are flouting or floating Hillary Clinton as a potential candidate, there is an appetite for a moderate to be on the ticket. And it's clear, as we mentioned last couple segments ago here, about, I mean, you've got this race to the lunatic left by the current crop of leading Democratic candidates. You know, what do we have? Elizabeth Warren has a $52 trillion health plan, which would triple the national debt if that was all put on our company credit card. She's going to achieve it, of course, by taxing millionaires and billionaires. And I don't think she knows what she's talking about, because I don't know if there is enough collective wealth in the country to get there. What's Bezos worth? $500 billion or something crazy like that? So you could take the richest man in America, take all of his money away, just like they did in Venezuela. This is, by the way, the Democrats, new socialist Democrats, you know, wet dream. So they take all of Bezos's money, everything, confiscate Amazon, all of his property, his jets. They can even take that new girlfriend of his. Take all of it. No, I'm not calling her a property. I'm just being funny. So anyway, take all of his property away. And what do you got? You've got $500 billion. Well, we're almost there, guys. We got 51 and a half to go. I'm trying to put this into perspective, that even Democrats recognize that Warren, that this is lunacy, that it's so laughable that it's almost impossible for it to get any kind of traction. This is why there's a recruit Hillary movement, because they go, we're running against the misogynist Donald Trump, so we need a woman. Because Democrats, of course, are obsessed with identity politics, so we need a woman. As if that's a prerequisite for a great candidate. And we can't have that Biden guy. I mean, he's got a woman problem. He can't run against Trump because, and it's, again, they all see it through such a limited prism. He's got a woman problem. He's a groper. I mean, there's a great picture I saw circulating on the internet of Biden getting handsy with himself. You know, they had superimposed Biden's image onto him. So he was, you know, he massages women's shoulders and backsides and whatnot. And he's creepy Joe. And he was doing it to himself, and obviously a play on that situation. So they know that Biden's vulnerable. Plus he's this whole investigation, this impeachment inquiry, is only going to put Biden and his shady son in the spotlight on an election year, on the same year where Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, like Steny Hoyer, who are, believe it or not, okay, they're relative moderates compared to the AOCs and Rashida Tlaibs of the world, where they're literally empowering the fringe lunatic left that's running for the presidency to win. And you need to know that the reason why is because they want a fringe candidate to win. Nancy Pelosi wants an Elizabeth Warren to be on a ticket and absolutely does not want Joe Biden, because Nancy Pelosi wants Trump to get reelected, because Trump is the best thing to happen to Nancy Pelosi and her role as Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi cannot be Speaker of the House and will not be Speaker of the House in 3 years if Donald Trump is not reelected and you've got some nutty left-wing Democrat in the White House. If that happens, and we have 2 years from 2020 to 2022 of President Elizabeth Warren trying to shove $52 trillion, of free health care down our throats, well, I mean, hell's bells. You're going to have the biggest Republican majority sweep in Congress the world has ever, we've ever seen in our history. And That's all so foreseeable. So one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, beside the fat shaming, one of the many reasons that you listen to this program is because you want to know, right, where all the pieces fit. You want to know where this all hooks up, right? How it kind of clicks and fits. And it's never about what these people are actually saying. It's never about what's really, you know, this is oversight and da-da-da. No, none of it. And so I'm saying don't count Biden out, because there is still an appetite outside of Congress. There is still an appetite for a moderate Democrat. And there, I don't think at this stage will be a newcomer to the race. The other thing that is important is that the California primary, which is, I forget, I gosh, 70 plus electoral votes, big chunk of votes, is a proportional primary, meaning it's not a winner take all state, and it's been moved up to Super Tuesday. So the California primary matters. And in Super Tuesday, whoever wins Super Tuesday, and it's not even about winning, because it's not all these contests are winner take all. Whoever is the leading candidate, whoever gets a plurality of the vote, really is in a position to win the nomination. And Super Tuesday is coming up, what is that, February of 2020. So it's coming up soon. And it's in this is why it matters. OK, so it used to always be that Iowa was the make or break. And you're seeing all these things that Joe Biden may be humiliated in Iowa and da 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 da. Iowa ain't going to matter as much this year. OK, mark my words. And what will matter is how these big states vote, these populous, big Democratic states vote. And I could see Biden doing well in California. I really could. Because a lot of conventional Democrats in California will see him as the candidate who's most likely to beat Trump. They're going to be a little more pragmatic about it. So don't count Biden out. Warren is doing great. Biden, still many Democrats believe, Bernie, most Democrats believe, a lot of Democrats believe that Bernie is the guy that could beat Trump. I think that was more true 3-4 years ago. Bernie's lost his edge. He's had a heart attack. He's looking frail. And he more and more looking like that that crazy relative who comes marginally uninvited to Thanksgiving dinner. So we've got that. I don't see a big surge there. Warren is drawing crowds. Warren is drawing crowd, and this is something that is important. She's going to have the support of the base. And the question really will come down to in the Democratic nomination race here is what happened. It'll depend is on how, if the Democratic Party actually allows the candidates to win on their own merits. And the extent to which the party doesn't put their fingers on the scale like they did in 2016, I think that that Warren could very well be the candidate. It's conceivable. But some of these comments, this race to the extreme is nuts. And may I say, it's really an interesting political world, because you've got the two extremes have been redefined. Because on the Republican side, Trump is not the extreme, okay? You got to understand this. What you're being told in the media, Trump is not the extreme. What wars has he started, right? What truly fascist things has he done? Okay, all right, separating families at the border. Obama did all of that stuff too. Arguably, Obama did more of it, okay? In the deportation department, it's the anti-illegal immigration department. But he did it without all the rhetoric, right? He did it without all. So you're saying the words matter more. But on the Republican side, the real extreme are the globalists, in my view. And we'll call them, the globalism is big on the Republican side because it's what commerce likes, big business likes it. Truth be told, big business wants open borders, right? If big business gets lots and lots of cheap labor coming from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, et cetera, that's good for them. And these are the companies and people that are big donors to the Republican Party establishment. On the other side now is this rise of democratic socialism. And it is just socialism. It's left-wing craziness. It's $52 trillion free health care. I mean, which of those two extremes do you want? Neither. What you and I, and frankly, many Democrats, many, many registered Democrats want is a good economy. We want fair trade. We want secure borders. And we don't want ourselves entangled in a bunch of crazy foreign wars. Somebody tries to hurt us, we go in. We send a Belgian Malinois dog to come and bite him where it hurts. I'm referencing the brave dog who is going, I hear, going to visit the White House. What's the dog's name? I don't have that here. I forget. But nonetheless, this brave dog that assisted the raid on al-Baghdadi's compound. We like that. We like taking out terrorists. We don't like nation building. Sorry, George Bush. We like going in, bombing the hell out of the bad guys, killing them, and then leaving. That's what we like. And that's what Trump is going to run on. One of Trump's greatest selling points and things that he will repeat again and again in the election is you all said I was going to be a warmonger and I was going to start World War III and it didn't happen. All you guys said I was going to tank the economy, it didn't happen. All you guys said I wouldn't do what I promised, I did. And people are going to come back and say, well, wait a minute, you didn't build the wall. You didn't build the wall. I tried. But these obstructionist Democrats were too busy trying to impeach me, kept getting in my way. And now the ball will be back in the other court. Now, part of where I'm informing this decision is not just based on my gut. There was a great piece in Salon.com this week. I'm just going to say this guy's name. I assume it's a guy. Anis Shivani. Now, maybe it's Anis. I apologize if I mispronounce it. But Anis wrote this great piece about Trump. And the title of the piece is Trump Will Win Again Easily. Liberals simply don't understand what he represents. And it opens with an anecdote. The anecdote, by the way, the anecdote in public discourse is always more important than all the bloviating that comes afterwards, because the anecdote is what informs us. And we all, if we're reasonably social, we go out and about and we talk to people. Now, I hear a lot of people all the time that say that they don't like Trump. And so does this guy, because he's a total liberal. And he goes out there and he talks, he says, well, he just opens his piece with a personal anecdote. And I'm just going to read from this because this is fascinating. The writer here says, quote, a creative writing PhD I know with tons of debt. So who is he describing? He's describing, I could be a millennial. I don't know. Could be some guy who went to a fancy university, liberal university, right? Got a PhD in creative writing, which what can you do with that? Probably nothing. You can teach, right? He's got a ton of debt, student debt, right? Whose wife happens to be an undocumented Filipina. Okay, so now what are we thinking? We got a guy who went to a school, right? Went to a big liberal school. Total lib, is married to an undocumented illegal. He's married to an illegal immigrant from the Philippines. The writer continues. This guy became mightily angered by the promise of student debt cancellation. You know why? Well, yeah, he's paying for his student debt. It's a big number. Every month he pays, I don't know, $200, $250 that he doesn't have to spend on I don't know. Star Wars figurines. I don't, but at any rate, he's paying his debt. And along come these Democratic politicians all shouting over one another of how they're going to cancel this debt, how they're going to just give it away. And then when you read the finer print, you realize it's not targeting everybody. It's not targeting maybe master's degrees or whatnot. The other thing is this guy in this anecdote, who is a liberal friend, a liberal of a liberal friend, right, who is not happy about giving blanket amnesty to illegals, quote unquote, because as he sees it, his wife is part of DACA and paid her dues. And what this piece to me is one of few open admissions by liberals that Trump's policies, right? Not his rhetoric, but his policies are resoundingly middle ground in America. And the more that the left, the Democratic Party, calls these things fascist, calls these things extreme, calls these things racist, right? Bigoted, homophobic, whatever. The more they are calling those names, they're using those names to describe the center, the political center of this country. And regular people are put off by this. I'll explain and expand on this and why it's important, why it will be a determining factor in the election when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Yeah, Sam here, ready to throw down some truth. Every time the politicians, the Democrats, the news media, and everybody call Trump's immigration policy, for example, racist. Call one of Cuccinelli was on the Hill, I think he's the acting head of DHS. They have him up there and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's yelling at him, this bigoted white supremacist. And the guy looks at her, he goes, Congresswoman, I am not a bigot. I'm not a racist. It is not your time to respond. Da, da, da. I mean, and the reality is that Cuccinelli is talking as many Americans are thinking privately because they go, hey, we're not okay with an open border. Those videos of just hundreds of people at a time flowing across the border, I'm not okay with that. Now, these are people who are registered Democrats. These are people who don't like Trump. And these are people who are absolutely turned off by the Democratic Party calling them bigots, calling them white supremacists for thinking that illegal immigration is not okay. I will keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. This is the greatest political miscalculation of a generation. And it matters because it will cost the Democrats the race into the White House. They got a president who's got polling in the mid to high 40s, for Pete's sake. And they think they've got it made in the shade, and they're doing the little, we got the Trumpster, and now we're going to rub his face in impeachment, and we're going to come up with all these sound bites that we're going to use in the election. And boy, are we brilliant political machinators. While the rest of America sits at home, working hard, getting taxed to death, going, hey, wait a minute. I just paid $40,000 in taxes this year, and I'm not okay with free health care for everybody, free education. Oh, and by the way, let's invite all of Guatemala to come into this country whenever the hell they want. Oh, wait, I think that way. Oh, wait. I'm a white supremacist. Got it. Okay. Uh-uh. And this, back to my point, that you've got the globalists on one side, the Republicans that don't like Trump. And then you've got the socialists, right? The Democrats, a large part of the Democratic Party, now totally socialist. And they are so woke, right? We know this word. What does it mean? It means you're hyper aware of all the social injustice occurring out there in the big wide world. They are so left and so woke that the rest of the middle of America is just looking at this going, I cannot keep your 32 genders straight. I'm sorry. I'm lost. I don't know. For me, if there's a penis, I think it's a guy. If there's no penis, it's a girl or possibly an ISIS bomb maker. So there it is. I mean, it's just and you're losing us in all of this. And this is why I keep saying Bernie 4 years ago could have won, because he kept it simple. It was about jobs, about, a social safety net. And he did it in a folksy way that was very endearing. But by contrast, Elizabeth Warren is a shrill, out of control nun. Yeah, she's got that. She looks like those of you who've gone to Catholic school, you know exactly what I mean. Yeah. Well, the law professor. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Boy, this is just, there's so much going on. I just think the election is not nearly as in the bag as the left thinks. And I think that all of these things that they're doing, from impeachment to going to the fringe left and allowing people like AOC to now carry the mantle of the Democratic Party, and this is all bad news for reclaiming the White House. And I think bad news for the House majority as well, because the more that the moderate Democrats get tainted by all of this nuttiness, the less appetizing they will be to the public. And in all of this impeachment talk, too, let's not forget that Trump could come out of this a sympathetic character as a beleaguered president. And that always is a risk of some backlash. All right. Don't go anywhere. More fun and games up next.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Majowski. You'll find him very anything. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Last week, when Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was dispatched to the next world by American soldiers, the Washington Post printed a headline in the obituary section reading, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. Now, this, by the way, this piece of human filth, al-Baghdadi, has killed thousands and thousands of people, has personally raped many, many women, is really just a giant living piece of human poo. I don't even know if it's human poo. Maybe it's some other kind of poo. But nonetheless, a walking piece of fecal matter that met the justice that he deserved. And the Washington Post, they print that headline. Now, they end up changing it 3 or 4 times. Eventually, it says something about terrorism. And I submit this to you all. This October 27th. They got ripped for it. Okay, but this is my point. Let's just say hypothetically, you don't like Trump. You're a middle of the road person. Do you think, I'm posing this question, do you think that al-Baghdadi was a religious scholar? You're probably thinking, I don't even know, nor do I care what if he was a scholar, austere, religious or otherwise. But I know he was a killer. I know he abducted a young American woman, personally raped her, and likely killed her. I know that he did horrible things. I know he mutilated people. And to the extent that he did it in the name of religious belief, don't really care. He's not a good guy. And yet in the offices of the Washington Post, inside the Washington, D.C. beltway, in the swamp, are many people who think this way. And it is their conventional wisdom that is dictating a lot of the political maneuvering that you see happening on Capitol Hill. Because all these people, they all congregate, they all live together, work together, they have kids on the same soccer team, they entertain at each other's homes. And I'm not necessarily talking about Pelosi, but everybody in her office, they all get together, the staff, when they're not busy in a throuple with their congressman boss, they're out and about rubbing shoulders with these Washington Post reporters. And this quick thing that just came out, we put together a headline, bam, there it is. The first headline's always the telltale sign. The first go at something is what? Is the most honest take. This is Washington, D.C., guys. This is not an accident. This is not an oops, you know, we screwed up. This is Washington, D.C. that doesn't understand you, your neighbor, your friends, your family members, your mom, dad, brother, sister. They don't get it. To put it a way that you or I might, were we having a beer together, they have their heads so far up their rear ends, they cannot see the light of day. And this is why they will once again lose. Sam Rejofsky, back right after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Sam Rejofsky. All right, you heard about Mark Zuckerberg. He was on Capitol Hill, the CEO of Facebook, saying that Facebook would not be censoring political speech, would instead allow the marketplace of ideas, the back and forth of political debate, to resolve public policy disputes, close quote. Of course. We'll see. I'm skeptical if this actually happens, but of course. No, duh. This is how it works. And who's angry about it? Isn't it funny that it's always the Democrats that are angry about this? And you know why? Because their ideas suck. And their ideas can only get out there if they are advanced, helped, assisted through laws and government policy. Remember the equal time doctrine? If you had an hour of conservative programming, you had to have an hour of liberal programming. Well, who wants to listen to liberal programming? I've been listening to a lot of talk shows here in Las Vegas. I got to be careful how I say this. There's a lot of, I'm surprised, a lot of liberal voices in a fairly conservative town. And here's the thing about liberal talk radio. I'm just going to say this. It's a snooze fest. It's boring. You know, when you sit there and for 3 hours or 4 hours or even an hour, hell, and you have to be really careful and really delicate and you have to be woke. I mean, what's the fun in that? Because the truth is, people do want to hear that Katie Porter is fat. It's a god, because, you know, I mean, it's like the emperor's new clothes, right? Well, would fine Raymond say, oh, no, she's perfectly fine in that spandex bat suit. No. This is why. It's one of the many reasons why. Plus, and by the way, it's why, oh, I know, I'll say this. It's why a lot of liberals listen to conservative talk radio. They're outraged by it. They're mad, but they enjoy it. And so what Facebook is doing is just smart for business. You liberals go on, Republicans go on, and they go at it. And you know, by the way, you know what I'm talking about, because I don't really go on Facebook, to be honest with you, because I have a handful of friends who just want to get into these long Facebook debates. And you'd open up Facebook and you'd see these long essays that somebody wrote out and edited and typed. And I don't have time for that. I work like three jobs. Okay. I don't got time for that. So I stopped going on Facebook. But for engagement, right, that's engagement. The more hours that people spend on Facebook, the better. And they will use Facebook if they believe that the scales aren't tipped one way or the other. If the right-wingers can go after the left-wingers and vice versa, that's good for business. But again, I don't have high hopes. I see this as a publicly stated position. I think it's good to enunciate it. I think it's good for business. We'll see if Facebook actually does it. Twitter, on the other hand, taking a totally different approach. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, believing that Twitter has a role to police content. And it's going to be, that's why Twitter's going into the toilet. Their stock price is down, revenue's down. Because I think, well, about this particular issue, incidentally, Ted Cruz has 4 million followers on Twitter. And he puts out a tweet about this, which is a big issue, and he gets 169 likes out of 3.9 million people. I think what Twitter is doing is shadow banning him and preventing his tweet from being seen by many of his followers. And that is an example of Twitter obviously policing content and picking and choosing the winners as they see fit. Never a good idea, not good for democracy, and certainly in the long run, not good for the Democratic Party, because people are smart enough to figure it out. And this is, by the way, why I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, and all of you encourage me to do more on Twitter. I don't know. The social media thing, all of it is just crazy. So I prefer to come here on the microphone and just talk to you directly. Good. Well, another great show in the can, in the bag, so to speak. We've had a great couple hours together. Thank you. Thanks to our sponsors, Sam and Ash, samandash.com, because you deserve what's right. Personal injury lawyers that believe in personal responsibility, believe it or not. So give them a call. All right. Have a great weekend. It's Friday. Enjoy. Start of November. It's chilly out there. Wear a sweater. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network. People.